is forever and ever. And the scepter of your kingdom is the right scepter. For you have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore, the Lord your God has anointed you with the oil of gladness above your fellow. Thank you for the supply of the Spirit. Thank you for the hearing of faith. And thank you for the workings of miracles. We give you praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, I want to welcome everyone to M3 Summit. I know. For those of us who are in the studio here, you may be seated. It's an online conference. So we're broadcasting live from our studio here in Lagos. So we want to welcome those who have joined us online. I could see that there is movement already there. Hallelujah. You know, people got to me and they're like, how come you don't want us to come? I said, no, we are trying to observe COVID protocol. Also, this is a meeting for ministers. I just felt that people should be behind the screen and just take as much as they can, you know, take of this spiritual capital God will be bringing our way this weekend. Well, if I bring up Pastor Poy, Pastor Poy is already in the house, by the way, and no, we're going to appreciate him proper. It's 6:30, so we'll bring it up shortly. But before I do that, I want to welcome everyone again, especially those who are watching from outside of Nigeria. We welcome you in the name of Jesus. We just want you to know that we love you and all our friends everywhere. Thank you. And I also like to thank everyone, the team, music people, protocol, and everyone working behind the scene to make sure that we have a very wonderful outing this weekend. The Lord will reward you in Jesus' name. I want, by the way of tribute, in 1 minute, you know, make public my tribute to Apostle Dr. Ferry Casey Price, that has gone on to be with the Lord. And I told myself that once I come up, I would do that, just to appreciate this giant of faith that by the grace of God, I was privileged to meet one-on-one in 2019 at a faith dome. And it was profound. So I remember as a schoolboy, you will hear, welcome to ever-increasing faith. Romans 10:17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Praise God for another day and for another privilege and opportunity to share with you the living word of God. That is always his opening comment for over 40 years. And of course, at the end, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Always. We appreciate that man who, by the grace of God, you know, sowed seeds. Dr. Price used to send me personal letters. He used to send a copy of The Messenger, that's a magazine, to me every month. And in his lifetime, at that time, we used to do tapes. He must have sent me over 50 tapes. I mean, just to listen. And little do I know that one day, faith will be at the center of what we do. God just used him to sow that seed. And I feel this is a meeting for ministers. I just want to, you know, pay my tribute to that wonderful man of God who has gone on to be with the Lord. Well, that said, how many of us are ready? Online, just wave wherever you are. So like we said, it's truly an online meeting. So we're just recording from our destination in Lagos. So please, I want to appeal again. I know that the reason of people watching now, where we are recording from, people already know. Please, it's an online meeting. We're just recording from site. Just stay at home and follow us, and you won't miss anything. I guarantee you by the word of the Lord. Our guest speaker tonight is someone that, you know, at times, words will fail you to describe Pastor Poju Emade. What I just want to say about him is that he's a model that I believe God raised to show a generation of ministers how to do ministry. And I don't say that lightly. It's what I say in private conversations with my wife and within our sphere of influence, that I don't know sincerely how ministry would turn out in Nigeria if the contributions of Pastor Podre Made severally, is he Wagbeck? Is he talking to ministers? Is it the way he has carried himself? Is he integrity? Is it the love for the body? Is he how behind the scene it cuts across divides and gaps? I mean, the list is endless. This is someone that God, by the grace of God, raised for such a time as this to show those of us who are coming behind that it is doable and that it's possible. And that you can do ministry with integrity, with excellence, and with simplicity. I mean, when it comes to those simple dimensions, I've learned so much from Pastor Podre. And I don't want to belabor us with, you know, so much. He's somebody we all know. But Pastor, we just wanted to know that we appreciate you so much. That with Jesus' joy and with a standing ovation, can we receive tonight in this opening, Pastor Podre Made?
Presence of your spirit in this place, the supply of your spirit for this meeting. We thank you in advance because we know he has glorified Jesus, taking the things of Jesus Christ and showed them unto us, revealed unto us the things that are to come. Thank you for utterance, that your word goes forth in simplicity with accuracy and in power, and that light comes into all our hearts in the name of Jesus. Amen. You may all be seated. Amen. All right. First of all, I'd like to thank sincerely Pastor Dele. I know he introduced me, but his work among young ministers, even just the teachings he does on social media, very, very impactful. I mean, he told me something, but I mean, I can't say it publicly, but I told him that it is important that that the teaching ministry in the Federal Republic of Nigeria be upheld. I won't talk more than that. All right. I won't say more than that. All right. I'm a bad mate. All right. Amen. All right. This evening, I want to share... I won't spend 70 minutes. I don't think so. All right. One of the principles of the ministry, I found out as you grow in it, that you talk less to say more. All right. It's a principle, because sometimes you can have communicated what God told you, then you add so much to it that people forget what God was actually saying in the meeting. So I want to speak on ministries with divine distinction. All right? Cultivating a ministry with divine distinction. I want to start this evening by saying something that I believe will come to pass, because it's scriptural. It's in the Bible. It's prophetic. The nation of Israel celebrated three distinct feasts every single year. And the Bible tells us those things are types and shadows of the new, all right, Testament. So we have the substance of those things in the New Testament. The first feast was called the Feast of Passover. And that was celebrated when the Passover was sacrificed for the emancipation of Israel. And Jesus fulfilled that feast. And remember in the New Testament, because of time I don't have to quote this, it says that Jesus, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. So it refers to Jesus as our Passover. And then it talks about keeping that feast there by keeping our hearts free of malice and guile and all of that. But Jesus died during the feast of the Passover. In other words, when he was crucified was on that particular day. And this showed that there was something prophetic here about this feast. Then the next feast, and that feast the church has celebrated and entered into the spiritual aspect of it, in that we have accepted Jesus as the Lamb of God that was sacrificed as a Passover, and that's how we get born again. Then the next feast was 50 days after, and that was called the Feast of Pentecost. And to show that this thing, all right, was a shadow of something that was to happen in the new, they were gathered, and it was on the day of Pentecost that the Holy Spirit was poured out, and it was called, and that's where we get what we even call the Pentecostal movement. In other words, the Pentecostal movement that we talk about in the world means people who have received the baptism and the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Those who don't accept it with the evidence of speaking in other tongues, we refer to them as evangelicals, which means they've only celebrated what we are saying is the Passover, which is evangelism and that. Those who have received the infilling of the Spirit, then we call them Pentecostals. In other words, they have celebrated the Pentecost, so we call it the Pentecostal movement. And that feast was also known as the Feast of Weeks or the Feast of First Fruits. In other words, it happened at a time when after the planting season you have the first fruits, and then the final feast was the one that Jesus said. And he said it on the day of that feast. And he was speaking to something that will happen in the New Testament. The Bible says in John 7:37, now this is the last feast that the body of Christ must enter into. The Bible says on the last day of that great feast, Jesus cried out and said in John 7:37, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. So what he's talking about is an outpouring, which means out of the belly of every single individual. But the person who is going to experience that rivers flowing must consciously first come to drink. In other words, it's what you drank when you were thirsty that now flows out of you in a multiplied way. But that feast was called the Feast of Ingathering, or the Feast of the Harvest. In other words, when the body of Christ and ministry the same way, people understood you must be born again and got born again. Clearly understood it. Understood Pentecost, which means be filled with the Holy Spirit. All right. We now take them to the third gear, which is the Feast of Tabernacles. And people as individuals begin to operate fully in it. That's when we're going to have the great harvest and we're going to have the ingathering. So the infilling of the Spirit was the first fruit, which means then comes the ingathering. So when a person says, I'm baptized, I got born again, one, I received Jesus, the Passover who was sacrificed, one. Then I had the infilling of the Spirit. That's the first fruit. Then there's a third thing that God wants to do. And I'll show you in Ephesians what I just said. Now, Ephesians chapter 1, it tells us that Paul was praying, and he said, the Father of glory, all right, of Father of our Lord Jesus, the Lord of glory, will give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that the eyes of your understanding may be enlightened. Now, I will read it, all right, from but if you can put up King James, let me first, sorry, all right, let me read from King James. Okay, now let's go to verse
13. Let's start from verse 13. It says, whom ye also trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom after you believed, which means you believed, you are now sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Now look at what it says next. Which is, or who is the earnest? The word earnest means the first installment. That's first fruits he's talking about. The first installment, the first deposit, which means you want to go and buy this monitor. They tell you the monitor is 100,000. You now say, I want to tie this monitor down with paying an installment to show that I am committed to buying this monitor. So I put down 10,000 naira and then I say, I am coming back to redeem every single thing. So look at what it says here. Which is the earnest, first installment of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession, which was bought by the blood, unto the praise of his glory. Now, Paul said, wherefore, after I heard of your faith, and in the Lord Jesus, and your love to all the saints, going for that redemption of the purchased possession, he said, I cease not to give thanks, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus, the Father of glory, even though you have the Holy Ghost, he now prayed that he will give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. For one reason, that the eyes of your understanding. In other words, without this prayer, you have the Holy Ghost for your eyes to be closed. That the eyes of your understanding might be enlightened, that you might know what is the hope of his calling, the riches of his glorious inheritance, and that. Now, let me read it to you, all right, from the Passion Translation. All right, it says this. Verse 13, and because of him, when you, who are not Jews, heard the revelation of truth, you believed in the wonderful news of salvation. That's Passover now. Now we have been stamped with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit. He is given as an engagement ring. Like as an engagement ring is given to a bride. As the first installment of what is coming. Which means the celebration of Pentecost is just the beginning. If we don't get to tabernacles, we'll see people praying in tongues, dangerous tongues, but lack character. That is, we haven't gotten to the place where we all, with an open face, beholding as in a glass, are transformed. So it goes here. Now, this is important, this message here. First time I'm preaching this, so it's respect I have for you. Okay? Because you are a teaching priest. So you can't come here and be saying ordinary stuff. Alright? Here's, as the first installment, alright, first installment of what's coming. He is our hope promise of a future inheritance, which seals us until we have all redemption's promises and experience complete freedom, all for the supreme glory and honor of God. He now said, because of this, since I heard about your strong faith in Jesus and your tender love to his saints, my heart is always full of overflowing thanks to God. As I constantly remember you in prayers, I pray that the Father of glory will give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation to know him through your deepened intimacy with him. Now, hear what he said. I pray that the light of God will illuminate the eyes of your imagination, flooding you with light until you experience the full revelation of the hope of his calling. In other words, you stay in prayer until you come to know the hope of God's calling, which means as a person, you know this is what I am called to do on this earth. You know what that means? The Bible says, seek ye the kingdom, and all these other things shall be added. It says, the kingdom of God is like a man that found treasure. He went and sold everything for just that treasure. Now, you know the hope of your calling. You enter into it. Jesus said, every other thing you are seeking for will follow you. That's why Jesus said, when I sent you, did you lack anything? Now, we are talking about ministry. Ministry can only really start, and I'm going somewhere, when you know this hope. The Bible tells us, let me put this scripture up here, as I'm turning to King James. Where there is clarity of vision, and his hope is upon you, this is the entrance of the divine into man. Where God has caused his face there to shine upon your heart, and you know it clearly. So for John the Baptist, right? Luke chapter 3 from verse 2 to 5. If you can put it up, Luke 3, 2 to 5. Right? Now, Annas and Caiaphas, there, being high priest, the word of God came unto John, the son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. And he came into all the country about Jordan, preaching the baptism. Now, when that word came, he knew his message. Alright? Ministry begins with the message. The message has to be right. He came preaching the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. As it is written. Which means his eyes was opened up to the point where John could say, who are you? I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Jesus, when his eyes were opened, he opened the book. He said, this day, is this scripture fulfilled in your eyes? So why is this so important? Now, this is so important because of this. I want to show something. Now, because of time, let me just go this way. In Numbers chapter 16, we're ministers, we all know this story about Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. And they were going into rebellion, and they were saying that, you know, we are all equal, and, you know, people can forget things. You didn't know you were equal when you were in Egypt suffering. Then somebody shows up, parts the Red Sea, does all of that. Then suddenly you forget you are now equal. Let me tell you, for young people listening, to preach on this altar is easy. You can prepare a message and come and be preaching and you're anointed. And you come down and they say, great message, great message. That doesn't mean you can build a great church. This is why sometimes older ministers are careful about younger people. Because you will be guilty in heaven for premature exposure. For the Bible says, do not promote a novice, lest he be lifted up with pride and fall under the same condemnation as Satan. So if you promoted a novice and because of that he came under condemnation and started behaving like a rascal, God will hold you responsible for promoting somebody before his time. I tell people, there is a difference. I tell people, you know, everybody is social media tweeting and you feel once you have Twitter, people follow you on Twitter, you're a champion. I tell people. I have more followers on Twitter than Bishop Edipo. I hope you understand what I'm saying. A man that is opening 10,000 church. There is ground game. There is Twitter. There is ground game. There is Twitter. Likes doesn't mean they will come to your church. That's what's confusing people. I got 400 likes. It doesn't mean they can like your poster and not show up at the meeting. But let's leave that for another day. Because as much as social media can become the greatest killer of ministry now. Because people's desire for likes and followership will make them tamper with the authenticity of the message God has given. I can assure you, if you go there and say, repent of your sins, nobody is going to be retweeting. Or the works of the flesh are plain. And start listing them, they won't retweet. Number so, they went into rebellion. Got confused. So Moses did something. He called them. He said, you people, you will see something today. If I did this of my own mind, which means, if this ministry was my idea, just my brilliant idea, he said, you will die natural. But if it's God that sent me, he said, something different will happen. Cut long story short, the ground parted. The men were gone. But he didn't solve their problem. Because shortly after that, when Moses spoke, they said, have you come to kill us the way you killed these other people? So you can't solve a problem by cursing people around the whole place. Do you understand what I'm saying? You can't lead people with fear. All right? I said, they told Moses. So God now called them and said, let me show the distinction. Tell everybody, all the families there, the houses, to go and get rods. In other words, you get the branch of a plant. Remove everything, leaves, flowers, and everything. And listen to this. Tell all of them, including Aaron, to bring their rods before the presence of God. Please, they brought it before the what? Presence of God. Not that it was only Aaron's rod that entered. They took all the rods, think deeply about this, into the presence of God. When they came the next day, only Aaron's rod budded. And they held it up because God wanted to show, I am the one who chose Aaron. He is in the center of my will for him. He is involved in what I called him to do. This is why his own rod budded. In other words, if God has not made me a father of many nations like Abraham, and I sing that song before the presence of God in worship, nothing will happen. If what he has made me is a healer, all right, to the continent of Asia, and I'm singing deep praise and worship to him in Africa, there will be no release. Are you following what I'm saying? Listen, look at this here. Hebrews chapter 5. Verse 3. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 3. Let's read King James. It says, Hebrews 5, 3. It says, no man taketh this honor to himself, except he, but he that is called of God, as was Aaron. So I can't go and take somebody else's honor to myself if I'm not called into that. Now, understand that was what Paul was praying, that the eyes of your understanding might be opened so you will know the hope of your own calling. So that when you go in, you go in with your own calling. Alright? It says, no man taketh this honor to himself except he that was called of God as was Aaron. Then he talked about Jesus. So also Jesus did not glorify himself to be made a high priest, but he that said unto him, thou art my son, today have I begotten thee. Now, next verse. And he said in another place, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. And then he talked about that. Who in the day? So, God actually said about Jesus that you were a priest after the order of Melchizedek. It wasn't that Jesus, now keep that in mind, because we're going to close with that he didn't take that honor to himself. So, in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 1, it now tells us about this tabernacle here. Then verily the first covenant had also ordinances of divine service of a worldly sanctuary, for there was a tabernacle made, the first, wherein was the candlestick, the table, the showbread, which is called the sanctuary. After the second veil, the tabernacle which is called the holiest of all, which had the golden center, the ark of the covenant overlaid with gold, the golden pot, and Aaron's rod that bore it. In other words, inside the holiest of all, that experience is there. So if we go into the holiest of all, we shall have that kind of experience when we come out. And after that, cherubims and this, which we cannot particularly speak of. Then we go to verse 7 to 8. It says, but into the second, went the high priest alone, once every year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the errors of the people, the Holy Ghost thus signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest as the first tabernacle was yet standing. In other words, the Holy Spirit was showing that the way into the holiest of all wasn't clear to man. Wasn't made manifest. Nobody knew the way into the holiest of all. Now, today, when you ask people what's the way into the holiest of all, because we just want to say what we read, we say it's by the blood of Jesus. But what does that mean? You say it's by the blood of Jesus. We just go into the holiest of all. Chief, if you go into the holiest of all and you come out, you can't be the same. If you go into the holiest of all, the presence of God, you will be changed. If you go into the holiest of all, with your business there, you come out of it, things begin to happen that people say, what is going on here? You will say, this is nothing else but the presence of God. When the Red Sea parted, they said, why are you fleeing? Jonah skipped mountains. He says, it's God's presence. We saw God's presence. So he says that way into the holiest of all was not clear. Now, he now tells us about that way. The next time we get there, chapter 10, from verse 19 to 20. Now look at what he says here. It wasn't just the blood. There was something else. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest of all by the blood of Jesus. Then he says, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated, it says, for us, through the veil. In other words, it's by the blood, but we're going through the veil, which is to say, that is to say, his flesh. So that way is through the veil. Now, what does that word, that veil mean? If we go to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 14. All right? 2 Corinthians 3, 14. But their minds were blinded. For until this day remaineth the same veil, and is the exact Greek word as veil over there, on taking away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. Then he says, but even until this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. He now says, nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. The Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And we all, with open face, in other words, God has opened his face to you, beholding as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory. Now, so the veil he was talking about when he says through the veil, all right, or that veil there, was the blindfold over the minds of people. Now, the issue is, Paul understood that. So he was praying that the eyes of your understanding may be enlightened, that you may know the hope of his calling. Because it is with that hope you are going in. If you don't know that hope, you will not have access into the depth of God's presence. I will show you from the Bible. That's why he was saying the veil there is that blindfold. And if the blindfold remains, and what happens to many Christians is that the Christians feel that once I'm born again, the blindfold has gone. If the blindfold has gone, why did Paul pray it? Let me say this. I'm saying this online. In 1987, Reverend Chris Okoche started Household on God. He became the fastest growing church in Nigeria. He came to UJCF, that's University Joint Fellowship, UNILAG. And he came for the meeting, he started. It was very good. So they gave him the microphone. I didn't understand what he was saying. They said, 3 years ago, you were still in the world. In 3 years, you are running the fastest growing church in this country. How did it happen? You know, he speaks a lot of grammar. So he said, we moved from just illumination to revelation. Our eyes were opened. I didn't understand what he was saying. Now, I'm saying it in a simple way. He used real deep words. But what he was saying was, you know, Jesus anointed. The anointing is the Holy Ghost. All right? He anointed a person's eyes. He said, look. He said, I see men as what? Trees. Then he said, go and wash in the pool called Sent. Which means you go to a place called Sent, which means what you are sent to do. And he said, I see now clearly. So what he was actually saying was, there is a first installment where it's easy. You must understand what Job was saying. When he saw something, he said, Job, that was the wealthiest man, that God said, have you seen my servant Job? But when God gave him revelation, he said, God, I heard of thee with the hearing of my ear. But now with my eyes, I see you. Let me tell you what's going to happen. There will be massive change of assignments in what people are doing. Some people, the day they get this encounter, will say, Kenneth Hagin said it. Said, I pastored for 12 years. I was in error. You know, he said it. You know, he talked about him praying that Ephesians prayer. And he now moved. And then he came to Tulsa. The grounds of Tulsa where he got to. When it was after they had finished building and all of that they discovered that there was a woman, it was like a farmland, who used to intercede in the place for hours. And one day she prophesied from this spot. It is that spot, coincidentally, they built Rema Bible School on. So what did he say here? Through the veil and that veil. Now, so let's move on. I'm almost through here. So the veil is the blindness. So it's through the blood of Jesus and the revelation of our hope that we enter in. Let me show you. David said in Psalm 43, from verses 3 and 4. Let's look at Psalm 13, verse 1 to 6. Look at what he said here. Psalm 13. How long will thou forget me, O Lord, forever? How long will you hide your face? Remember, it says with an open face, which means you have opened your face. Now, what does that mean? How long will you hide your face? All right. How long shall I take counsel in my soul and have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy be exalted over me? What was his prayer? Consider and hear me. Lighten my what? Eyes. That's open the eyes of my understanding. Lighten my eyes lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest my enemy be exalted and says he has prevailed, and they that trouble me remove when I'm rejoice when I'm moved. But I've trusted in your mercy. That to open my eyes, my heart shall rejoice, he says this, in thy salvation. I will sing unto the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. In other words, what was David saying? After you have opened my eyes, then I'm going to rejoice and sing. Remember in Hebrews, we are getting there. Hold fast your confidence and rejoicing in what? Hope. He was talking about that hope. That is the hope that is an anchor to your soul that takes you within the veil. Without that veil, hope, you can't access it. Let's leave singing. We are talking now about penetrating heaven. Look at what he says in Psalm 43 here, 3 to 4. I know what's going to happen. That's why Kenneth Hagin kept saying there's a move of the Spirit that will be lost in this generation. And what was he talking about? Worship. People will enter into privately with a revelation that God has given to them about their future. They will enter into the presence of God and without any money, with nothing, they will enter and sing psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, make melody in their heart to God. And they will get up in the morning in ministry and somebody will walk in and say, God spoke to me that it is part of your commission to build the base. Here is the money for it. That's Aaron's Lord that boarded in 24 hours. What do you think Paul was saying? He said, seeing that we have this ministry, he says we faint not. What was the ministry? Beholding. He said, we have renounced hidden things of dishonesty. There is no need for craftiness. In other words, if God has revealed it, enter into his presence with it, he will manifest it. Look at Psalm 43 here. Look at what he said. Oh, what did he say first? Oh, send out thy light and thy truth. Now, what do they do? Let them lead me and bring me into thy holy hill and to thy what? Tabernacles. Look how it says. Then will I go unto thy altar, O God, unto my God with exceeding joy. After light comes praise and worship. It says, upon the harp I will praise thee. But he said, first of all, send what? Light. Look at the last one I'll show you. Psalm 118, verse 27 and 29. God is the Lord, which hath showed us what? Light. First. Bind the sacrifice with cords. What's that sacrifice? Even to the horns of the altar. Next verse. Thou art my God, I will do what? Praise thee. Thou art my God, I will exalt thee. Next thing, oh, give thanks. For he said, God has shown us what? Light. So as I bring this to a close, look at Hebrews chapter 7, verse 13. So we're going to have real, then I understood what Pastor Debe was saying when I asked him. Your secret must be your prayer life. How do you pray? He said, 95% of my prayer is thanksgiving. How? You think, maybe he's just saying that. But they have discovered worship. Do you know how powerful? When God, the light entered into John the Baptist. I hope you know that when John the Baptist started preaching, can you imagine a pastor doing that kind of thing? People started coming. He said, who told you two to come? These first timers now. Who told you, first timers, who told you to come here? Who told you? They said, prophet, leave that. Tell us, what must we do to be saved? Because what he was handling was eternal. There is a place we have to get there. It's not marketing. We have to get there. This is the manifestation of the Spirit. The drinking is that revelation. The release is that place there of worship. Hebrews chapter 7 from verse 13. And let's follow this and see this as we close. Alright, for whom is said this spoken of another tribe which no man gave at the altar? Next verse. No, it's not. Hebrews chapter 6, sorry, verse 13. It's Hebrews 6, not Hebrews 7. The next one. Alright, so look, let's follow this here. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no other, he swore by himself, saying that surely in blessing shall I bless thee, and in multiplying shall I multiply thee. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife. So, God gave Abraham the promise, and then backed that promise with an oath, wherein God, willing more abundantly to show to the heirs of the promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath. That by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon what? The hope that is set. Who created the hope? God created the hope. Abraham didn't say, I want to be a father of many nations. Mary didn't say that, let me think about it. There's somebody called Jesus that is coming. I want to give birth to Jesus. You know what God, when you know what she said? After she got the light, she now asked, how can these things be without knowing any man? They told her, enter into the holiest of all, you will conceive. That's what the angel said. Because go and read it. After that, she began praise. Deep words of praise. Go and read it. Deep things. You will think it had already happened. Look at the next thing here. Where my lay hold. In other words, you see, he was saying, come into the presence, come into the holiest, where you will lay hold on that thing. That's where you lay hold on it. He says now, look at what he says here. Lay hold, hope said, which hope we have as an anchor. So the anchor to your soul that is taking you within the veil is the hope. That word anchor can be the root. Anchor to our soul, both sure and steadfast, which entereth into that within the veil, whither the forerunner, Jesus has shown us, even Jesus, made high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. But you know that God swore to Jesus, I've made thee a priest after the order of Melchizedek. So it was with that oath Jesus entered. So we need to ask the minister, what did God swear to you he would do? Simple. Now I'm about to explain something to you in the last verse. What? Because you can be a minister without an oath. And you can be a minister with an oath. Let me tell you. Never understood this. Let me not just call this. So that, but a pastor who used to pastor a big congregation in a denomination, thousands, left the denomination. So he came to me in the office. He said, nothing is working. I've tried, I've done everything. Big! They sent him around the world. Big! Nothing. About him. I used to wonder. But you used to preach to 10,000 people in the church. What are you saying? He said, you don't understand, Pastor. He said, you don't understand. You know what it was? It was the oath on the set man that was working for him. He was made a pastor without an oath. Because there was an oath on that ministry. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
The minute he felt he was the one, he stepped out of the oath. Let me show you what I'm saying. Hebrews 7 verse 19. Hebrews 7 verse 19. Now you see it here. For the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did, by which we do what? Draw near. Which means is that hope, by it you come in. Do you see that you can't come in without the hope? Look at what it says. And in as much, go back. Was it? For the priests, alright, so the next verse. Look at what it now says, the next verse. And inasmuch as not without an oath, he was made what? Priest. In other words, Jesus was made priest with an oath. But look at this. For those priests were made without an oath. They were doing ministry with no oath. It says, but this with an oath by him that said, the Lord swore and will not repent. So where did that swearing come? He told us earlier on, after he gave Abraham the promise, he swore. Now, which means that what has gone, and how do you know what he has sworn? Listen, there's only one way. Only one way. You carry your Bible in fasting and prayer. Pray in Ephesians 1's prayer until you see it. As they say, you're about koroju koroju with your eye. Listen, when you came in here, let's just assume you didn't see a green car outside. But you are hearing the sound of a car. And somebody says that it is the green car parked there. It's the green car parked there. And someone says, there's no green car. You know, that sound you're hearing is no confirmation that the car is green. You can't debate. You are not a witness. But if when you were coming in, you saw a green car, and you saw the car was green, there's nothing anybody can say with your eyes you have seen. Sound may not confirm, but what you have seen. That's why Peter said, we were what? Eyewitnesses of his what? Majesty. We saw it. What did Paul, John say? That which we have heard, but which our eyes have seen, which we have looked upon, which our hands have handled within the veil when we laid hold on it. What he has revealed is what you can touch in worship. Do you understand what I'm saying? So, for ministry to be effective, so we are coming to a place where we can't be copying ourselves. Alright? Where you go and look for what somebody is doing, the patch it on your own. Look for what somebody is doing, the patch it on your own. The Feast of Tabernacles is not like that. That's why Paul said we have renounced hidden things of dishonesty. We don't use cunning craftiness. He said because we have seen this ministry. That what was he talking about? He was talking about ministry. Because if you go to 2 Corinthians 3, he was talking about Moses who went up and came back. And that Moses put a veil over his face. And he now said, listen, if that one of condemnation can have that kind of glory, how much more? He was talking about beholding the face of God. So if God reveals to somebody and reveals to that person that Lokoja is where I have given you, sing in Lagos till you close. Nothing will happen. Just step to Lokoja. You know, we just look at Peter's mistake. God told Peter to stay with the Jews. He left the place, came to Antioch. That's why he was behaving like a normal person. Grace had gone. Go and read it. When Paul too went to Jerusalem, trouble started. You can't go outside your calling and manifest. So where are we going to? You pray Ephesians 1 prayer. Even for people who are in business. It's not only ministry. God comes and opens the eyes of the understanding of that person. And there is an oath over that business. You know when God puts an oath on it? Even when you are gone home to be with the Lord, that oath is still working. When they came to take the throne from one of the descendants of David, God said, don't you know I gave it to him by a covenant of salt? Come with your armies. They were more than them. Fight. You will know it's an oath. I put it here. That God swore to David, nobody will sit on this throne here except it's your child, a descendant of yours. So people can play politics, play what they want to do, and God will allow it so that you yourself will know the power of an oath. Are you following me? And these are the kinds of ministries we need, because those are the ministries that will bring respect back. When somebody says, listen to me, I will walk out of the church. Somebody feels that, people can do that from time. You think you are the king in the church. I'm leaving. As he's walking out, the next day, somebody else comes in. You know, there are some things we can't preach. I'm telling you. We can call people into a closet and say it. In fact, today in the office, I was telling some people my staff story. Ah! I said, let me just share this with you. This story. I told them. They said, what? Church history is good. You can't say publicly. Because as we're talking, we don't know who is watching. And we don't want to hurt anybody. So we have to keep it. But even in ministry, we have seen people walk out. And we've seen some other people come in, which were replacements of those people in multiple forms. But we cannot preach it because we don't want to hurt those people that walked out. Maintenance level of the better person is zero. The one that didn't carry everything, maintenance level 85. Are you following me? Because you went to God. So let me say the foundation of effective ministry is stay with God until you can see. This is that which is written. This is my message. This is my assignment. And this is where I'm going. Then you appear with that revelation. When it's time to worship, if anything is going wrong, you sing that revelation back to God. Are you following what I'm saying here? You go up. Look, your personal worship time cannot be what you do in public. Paul, there's a difference. He said, I speak in tongues more than you all privately. But when I come into public space, I use words that are easy to be understood. So a worship leader cannot use deep words because now everybody's on the same level. So what we can sing is, Jesus, we are here, we are here. You get what I'm saying? But when you go into private worship, you can't be saying, Jesus, we are here, we are here. You have to sing that revelation back. And when you sing it back to him, you touch God, and what you have, he has revealed starts manifesting in your life. Prayer is to make you see. You sing what you have seen, and then it manifests. Go and read the Bible. You'll find out. The only time where manifestation coincides with something, which means somebody comes and says, I was in your house yesterday. At what time? 4:30. You mean you were there? Yes. You ask, at what time did God begin to move? When they began to sing. The Bible says, and when they began to sing, then God set an ambushment. Which means it is when. But before Jehoshaphat sang, Jehoshaphat fasted and prayed. He heard from heaven. That song they sang back was a song of revelation. So where are we going to? It's going to be an advancement of this revelation. It's going to be, you can write what I'm saying, that it's going to be an advancement of it. It's going to be a deeper and fuller expression of this revelation. But where we are going to is that the future will belong to worshipers. There will be silent, but you will be seeing strong manifestations. Are you following? And this worship I'm talking about is when the angel saw John and he went before him and said, I'm a fellow servant like you who has the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Prophecy means inspired utterance. Why did Jesus say? Jesus said, you read the scriptures, but you read it wrongly. You think in them you have eternal life. Read them, but they are they which testify of me. He says, why don't you come to me with that testimony? Singing the songs. He says, worship God for the testimony of Jesus in the spirit of prophecy. Singing those songs and the life that is in it, I will give you. Are you following me? If somebody has a deadly disease and God reveals to you that you are healed, he's not just going to reveal to you that you are healed. He's going to reveal to you why you will be healed. Are you following what I'm saying? Inside that revelation will be the hope of his calling. The strength I am giving you is to go back and do this. If he reveals prosperity, it's not for money, it's for something. And so long as you are doing that thing, that money cannot stop. That's oath. So it's not about materialism, it's about purpose. But we've stopped because of blindness. So you hear the message on prosperity and you think it is about materialism. You hear it about healing, you think it's just for you to be whole and enjoy yourself. That's why the day I heard Kenneth Copeland say something, when someone says revelation, I said, this is revelation. He said, I'm going to live till I'm 120 years strong. He said, let me tell you. He didn't say because I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus. He didn't say that. He said, God showed me that he has not been able to keep an anointing in the body for up to 90 years. So the anointing hasn't matured in anybody up to 90. He says, because when it starts getting to 80 years, the way the anointing works, he says, I will be able to do more. He says, because the bodies of people are not kept, the anointing, they might get anointed by the age of 35, by the age of 75, they're gone. He says, it's only 40 years. I need somebody that will hold anointing in their body for 90 years. Do you get what I'm saying? So, if we open the Bible today and we are seeing this, what we will be seeing in 30 years' time? Do you get what I'm saying here? If we stay on the earth till we're 110, that means we have almost 70. Do you get what I'm saying? Of daily revelation, we will bring it to an end. So he's seen healing and strength in his body. He does more meetings than he was doing 10 years ago. He's not slowing down. Because it's like wine that says as he ages, it gets better. The anointing gets better. God said, I need somebody that will hold it for 90 years. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for every single person under the sound of my voice right here online. One prayer. As we step into this Feast of Tabernacles in ministry, where out of the belly of every single person will be flowing rivers of living water, I ask that you give unto every single person the spirit of wisdom and revelation. That they're in the knowledge of you, Jesus. That the eyes of our understanding be opened up. That we come to know three things. The hope of your calling upon our lives. The riches of your glorious inheritance. Such that when we open the word of God, we begin to see unsearchable riches. Your wealth unfolding from the pages of the scriptures. And then the exceeding greatness of your power, which operates in the holiest of all, which you wrought in Christ when you raised him up from the dead, such that ministries flourish from a place of rest. And you are able to do a short work on this earth, because our in the shortest possible time, bringing the great harvest in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen. God bless you.
Hallelujah. Wow.
You may be seated. And for those who are watching, in just over an hour, Pastor just helped me to put it together. I don't know whether that is your testimony. Sincerely. The name of the Feast of Ingathering and the Feast of Tabernacles. Another name is the Feast of Ingathering. So as he was talking, the Holy Spirit just signified that it's time to do ingathering. Stop looking outside. You know, like Pastor said, we're just copying ourselves. You know, there's no deliberate effort on part of people to gather inside. Ingathering. Where you build tabernacles. See, that's one of the reasons why God said, when they were fighting over doctrine in Acts 15, James stood up and said, to disagree the word of the prophet, that I'm going to restore again the tabernacle of David. So that means one of the things that made David great was that he was one person who understood the principle of tabernacle. That's so much that when the church needed to have a breakthrough doctrinally, God said, it is that same template, that same tabernacle of David, I'm restored. So there is need for ingathering. And I know that's a posture of worship. We want to thank God again tonight for Pastor Poju. Thank you very much, sir. You know, I've listened to you over and over and over and over again. But every time I listen, it's always fresh. And we have a culture in the house. Please, I want the worship team to come and sing From Whom All Blessings Flow. So I went to Aleki Church, and so when they wanted to take the offering, they did this, and I said, this is good. This is what you guys do in Lekki, and I just liked it. So we have a culture in the house, excuse me. Whenever we have a guest, whatsoever we receive by the grace of God, we still have a seed. into the life of us. I want to ask everybody by the grace of God to, you know, like you said, we don't do craftiness there. It's not that you already know Pastor Boyd that he's not even that kind of person. So it's not that there's an agreement anywhere, you know. We just want to do this. And I encourage every one of us to be part of this. I think there's an account on the screen. Do we have it? Because we don't do kind of. And as that is going on, can we take that song, please? Thank you for this opportunity. Thank you for giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, establishing us on this principle of sowing and reaping. We give a praise in Jesus' name. Especially for those of us who are ministers, you know, just like Pastor Boju said, certain things we can't share because of what is happening around. So we are doing in gathering. You know, let me tell you something. If you receive the word at this level, learn to communicate. You know, we can't particularly talk about that because it's sensitive. Because one of the things Hyper Grace almost did, and guys on social media almost did to the seed message, was to rubbish it. And because of that, a lot of people are becoming very careful. But you see, it's an eternal principle. Well, people can bastardize it, but that doesn't change the fact that it's authentic. So I want to encourage everyone, don't just listen to this word. Communicate to him that teacheth in all things. And by the grace of God, everything received will be given to our guest minister. I'm just looking at the time. It's just 7:38. Sir, can I grieve Victor just if you don't mind, sir? We can just take 2 questions. Because I was thinking Pastor will finish at 8. I mean, but like he said, he just wanted to. So, I'm going to give an opportunity to people online to ask questions. So, please help me to. So, for those of us who are watching, we're just going to take 2. Just send us 2 solid questions. And, you know, somebody sent one earlier. Somebody said, how would you advise a young minister who started a walk and it's as if things are not moving? You know, where's the other mic? Where's the mic? Okay. things are not moving. He has prayed. He has fasted. You know, and he's not becoming bothersome to himself and his wife. And it's as if they can't just make ends meet. And what would be your counsel to such a young minister? Sincere young minister, genuine, but things are not moving.
If you listen to this message, look, to be honest with you, to be honest, I mean, Bishop T.D. Jakes said he stumbled into what he's, in other words, he was preaching, nothing was happening. One day, Bishop Carlton Pearson called him. It wasn't the first time, but he preached. And Bishop Carlton Pearson took the message and broke it into seven minutes, into four preachers in 7 minutes, and played it on his program on TBN. And it just so happened that Paul Crouch, the owner of TBN, was going somewhere in his house at the time where Bishop Jake's message was on. And he heard him for about 4 minutes and said, "Who is this?" And he called Carlton Pearson, Bishop Carlton, and said, "Get me this man, I want to put him on TV." And that's how everything blew up. So, we can't tell you now that they should preach and they should edit 7 minutes. That is your hand. All right? So, the truth is, as F.A. Butler said, he said, you cannot tell a person except by the gift of word of wisdom or word of knowledge, why a person might be in a situation and they say they've done everything that they have done not to come out. But what I would just say is that when people pray, what they are saying is that they are asking God for something. The prayer that changes is listening prayer. Now, when people wait on God, they actually, when they say, "I waited on God," they didn't wait on God. They were telling God what he should do and then fasting over it. The Bible says, "He that keepeth the fig tree shall eat of its fruit, and he that waiteth on his master shall be honored." When you wait on somebody, if you go to a restaurant and somebody or a protocol officer is waiting on him, minister, they will ask, "So what do you want to drink?" It's not that we just carry lemon tea and say, "Drink lemon tea." You say, "What do you want?" And then the person says what they want, and you go and look for it, and you bring it to that person. So when you're waiting on God for your ministry, you should be asking him, "What is it that you will have me do?" Okay? Not that, "God, let this church grow." God, and then you are pushing. It's called listening prayer. Somebody went to meet Paul Yonggi Cho and told him many years ago in South Korea, "I have a degree you do not have. I've listened to you preach and I've listened to myself. I preach better than you." He told Yonggi Cho this. "And I must have skated everything. How come you have 300,000 people and I have 3,000? Yonggi Cho asked him, "How long do you spend in prayer every day?" He said, 30 minutes. He said, "You know how long I spend?" 3 hours. He said, "The 3 hours I am doing, I am practicing listening prayer. In other words, I want to hear what God has on his heart." Do you get what we're saying here? Not that I see what somebody else is doing and then I'm pushing to God for that. It's the most difficult thing for human nature to open up to God and say to him, "God, what are you saying to me about my life?" So Abraham didn't go and choose the land. God came to meet him and said, "To the land I will show you." All right? So this faith is not name it and claim it. It's what God pours into your heart. That's what you are able to. Okay? So That's what I would just say to the person, because you really can't be telling people tactics when the assignment may be, it's very difficult. So people just say, okay, try this, they try this, try that, try this. So I fasted, I prayed, I did that, you know. So I would say they should listen to God in prayer.
Okay, there's another one, sir.
All right.
My question is this, sir. Is it a scriptural pattern to go through times, tough times, at the beginning of a startup church? That is scriptural, that must be tough when you are starting.
No, but the person knows that it's not scriptural. That's why the person is that, because that means the person doesn't have any scripture. I mean, how can you say scripture? If you say scripture, then you should have scripture. All right? But I don't want to say anything to discourage people, because if you want to say scriptural pattern, then you will say that if you are following scripture, from the first day they gathered and prayed, the Holy Ghost came, 3,000 got saved. Jesus started his ministry, his fame went throughout. So the scripture pattern is actually that there is manifestation. Okay? Mm. However, it's because people... I bought a training yesterday of somebody who was trained on something, and I was going to do it straight. And the man was teaching on training that all the churches he has worked with. In order to do this particular thing, it takes between 10 to 12 months to launch this kind of thing effectively. All right. But me, I wanted to launch in 4 weeks. I'm still launching in 4 weeks, but I will hear what he has saying and compress, because I've been in this business for long. So many of the things I say, subconsciously I'm doing it. All right? But I'm just saying that sometimes, let me tell you what happens to people. Because, I told a friend, that we don't say this, but I told a friend once. I said, when I started church, actually, I was called, but I wasn't sent. So I was seeing men like trees. So I was anointed, but I wasn't yet sent. I told the friend, I said I wasn't. All right? I wasn't. God knew, I knew, after some time. But I will also tell you that I knew that if I didn't stay in the territory of ministry and be doing ministry, you know, the Bible says you are preserved by faith unto salvation which is to be revealed. So when you are being preserved, you are in the wilderness. You don't have what you should eat, but God gives you manna just to survive. So even though I hadn't entered into the calling, God preserved me. So before the landlord comes for rent, somebody will just enter the church and drop a check that makes you know that God is with you. Are you following what I'm saying here? You see, you're about to give up. You see the check like this. You know God is saying, I'm just keeping you here until, all right, you make the adjustments that you're supposed to make in order to enter into it. Because if you go into some things, you may not come back again, all right, into ministry. So what I would say to the person is that the question is in scripture. No, but it doesn't mean, I mean, Bishop Jakes, okay, he said he'll go for ministers' conferences and back, and he'll be, instead of being lifted, he'll become almost a spirit of condemnation, because the man preaching says it like, you know, when you are called of God, I mean, you can preach this iron rod that budded and say that, and people are condemned. And so when you're called of God, the minute you've started work, we started at work 500, and then 1,000, in a year, 2,000 people. He said he had been into it 7 years. And he, when he counted 35, including those who are in the womb and children. Are you from Saudi? So it does happen. When we're going to go on television, I mean, I had a serious experience the night before. We had paid everything. I put on CBN and I heard a man say, we went on television, and for 7 years, nobody wrote us. Nobody, he didn't meet anybody in the mall that said, I saw you on TV. Nobody called the office. Nobody came to the church to even say, How did you come to church? I saw you on television. It was like they were not there. He said, no human being. As he finished saying that, I heard a voice. It was Satan. He said, this was going to happen. So, but on the 8th year, or 6th year, on the 7th year, they were open to 120 nations. So you can start, and everybody in the mall greets you, but after the 20th year, it's only the mall that's still greeting you. So there are some things that you go through tests. All right, so but you must ascertain that you are called of God. And when you are called of God, the signs will be there. Okay? Even when you've not entered into what you should enter into, God will be preserving you. Are you for what I'm saying? All right. I mean, there are several times inside my heart I had almost given up. I mean, there was a day in church I said, so where am I going to get, you know? And a lady just came in to the church. And she sat down. And she listened and left. And came back the next week. And she just opened her boot. And she was bringing cash in bags. She said, this is small. It's smaller. We were so happy, you know. The usher called me. Pastor, somebody is giving cash. I said, what do you mean? She brought the cash. I said, she looked at us that these young people are very happy. But she said, this is small, though. We collected it. Thank you very much. You know, if that kind of thing happens, you are losing confidence in yourself. Somebody listens to you and says, there's a call inside you. I'm ready to give. And this person was coming from the fastest growing church in Lagos at that time. And she came and sat down. And she was in the church for almost 20 years and sat down and said, you are saying something. So God will use those signs, all right, to tell you that, Chief, I'm around. You haven't entered, but I am what? Around. All right. But the wrong thing to do is to go and start taking honor to yourself. Which means you go for a meeting, you are struggling to say, I'm a man of God, you know, call my name. So you see, that's when you are trying to take honor. That's where the problem starts. All right? So you just go, you sit down calmly, you listen, you know that God is preserving you unto salvation that is, all right, to be revealed. But what I would tell people is, spend time in the place of prayer, asking Him, reveal. You know, if you are saying, give me this, but if you're saying reveal, talk to me, reveal, show me, what is it? Show me. After some time, you start coming like rain. And once you start getting that, which means you've submitted to Him, all right, and you're willing to change, and you open to Him, rain starts falling, and you get yourself into it, all right? It could just be a conversation you have with somebody, and something explodes in your spirit. You go somewhere and stand, something that everything just falls into place. But you have to be praying. It's listening prayer. It's listening prayer. There's a scripture that Paul, David said. He said, "Hear me, O Lord." And he said he talked about God speaking to him. He said, "Hear me, O Lord, and answer me. For if you do not answer me," he was talking about God speaking back, "I will be like the heathen that go down to the pit." He was praying. What David was saying was that, I know all of us are praying, but the difference is who hears from heaven. The heathen pray. But when the heathen pray, that's what Jesus was saying. They pray and they say, give me this. But when you pray, go and say to me, show me. All right? Show me. And once that is the issue there, open my eyes, let me see. And things will begin to, all right. Because nobody's path is the same. All right. Nobody, you can't duplicate how somebody else got their breakthrough. You cannot duplicate it. All right. The principle is you heard from heaven, you did what you were supposed to do, and then stuff begins to happen. All right. After that. But that's the way it is. All right?
Well, thank you very much, sir. Thank you, sir. Hallelujah. So tomorrow we'll continue in the morning at 10 a.m. with Pastor Godman. Can I be at 6 p.m. in the evening with Apostle Selma? And that's Sunday morning, Apostle Selma, and Sunday evening, Apostle Selma. And that is how the conference is going to roll. So tomorrow we're going to have a very great time, starting with Pastor Godman and Apostle Selma. Can I invite Pastor Maureen to wrap it up? Before that, I want to appreciate our friend and brother and his beloved wife, Pastor Taiwo and Deborah Limoshe. Thank you very much for joining us in the studio to do this. Pastor Taiwo and I, we've been friends since 95. When our path crossed at the University of Ibadan, such a wonderful man of God, and of course his beloved wife. And we thank God for you. Shall we welcome Pastor Maureen to close the meeting while the protocol can lead Pastor Pody to the office. Thank you very much. Please, all our pastor friends around, please just, once we close now, just walk up to us so that we can have some fellowship before we leave. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you, Pastor Dele. Good evening, everyone. To those watching online, it's been an amazing service. Thank you, Pastor and Mrs. Limoshe. So nice to see you. And of course, our very own Kurumis from Lekki. Thank you so much for joining us. And of course, our pastors in the house out of Zion. You know, I love you guys. So, and to everyone, all the invited, not invited, but anyone, you know, that joined us in the studio here today, thank you for coming this evening. Such a profound word that we just heard. And there's really nothing else to say, honestly. But a thought in my heart as Pastor Poju, you know, was wrapping up his session. I'm reminded of Simeon in the Bible. The Bible says it was revealed to him that he would not see death. And because of that revelation, he did not see death. He said it was revealed to him by the Holy Spirit. And that Holy Spirit also led him to the temple. So it was revealed, and that same Spirit led him to the fulfillment of that hope of his calling. Hallelujah. So honestly, we cannot afford to joke with the revelation of God upon our lives. And that is what distinguishes us. That is what makes us not do not to run helter-skelter and to, you know, put ourselves in that place of comparison. There's so much comparison on social media. You don't want to be a victim of that. You know, in Jesus' name, amen. Can we stand to our feet as we close the service this evening? And I just want you to pray for yourself. You know, and just pray that efficient, you know, prayer, that the eyes of your understanding is enlightened, is flooded with light. You have fortizo in the name of Jesus. And you see clearly. You don't just see as trees. Some of us have started seeing, but we're just seeing as trees. But you want to see clearly. You want to see clearly in the name of Jesus. The hope of your calling, which serves as the anchor of your soul. I mean, when your soul is anchored, then nothing tosses you to and fro. And that is where we need to be. So I want you to pray for yourself. And it's not just for ministers. You know, if you're watching also, pray for yourself. It's not just for ministers. Pray for yourself. The anchor of your soul, it guides you, it steadies you. It makes you remain rooted and grounded in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, Lord, for your word today. As we continue in the program tomorrow, we know that your Spirit gathers with us and we would move from glory to glory in the name of Jesus. So tomorrow, 10 a.m., it is still online. Please, it is still online. But 10 a.m., join us. And I think 5 p.m. in the evening, you know, tomorrow evening, we'll have Pastor Godman tomorrow morning and we'll have such an amazing time together. Thank you so much for joining us. And for those in the studio, God bless you. Have a wonderful night rest.